This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The campaign season for three Board of Supervisors races is officially underway, with the first candidates forum of the year. Seven candidates for three seats were guests at the annual meeting of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau. Over 150 members attended the event, which featured the adoption of the Albemarle chapter's positions on such issues as transferable development rights, subdivision rights, and tax credits that farmers can get if they are using their land for agricultural purposes. Each candidate was asked to respond to three questions from the Farm Bureau, which they did not receive in advance. The format of the event did not include opening or closing statements. The event was introduced by Joe Jones, president of the Albemarle County Farm Bureau.
At some point in the past, I had mentioned that we might try to have a bluegrass band for some entertainment after one of our annual meetings as this. However, the board felt that with the number of seats up for election this fall, that part of our responsibility as an organization is to educate its membership, and part of that education is getting to know the candidates for the Board of Supervisors. And at this point in time, I would say if the candidates would come up, we have name tags on front for in seats for you up here at the front table. Probably if anybody can pick and sing a little bit, you'll get a lot of votes here tonight. Mark Campbell, who spoke earlier, our field representative, is going to moderate the forum. He has some questions for the candidates, and he'll explain the rules. And Corky Shackelford is going to be our timekeeper. And Mark, would you like to come up and go over the rules with the candidates? And we got a seat there for you, Marcia.
All right, as Joe mentioned, I'm going to be the moderator serving for the candidate forum this evening. Corky Shackelford is going to be the timekeeper assisting me. And Corky, since we've got you on the spotlight and part of the rules for the candidates, we're going to have three questions, and I believe some of the questions have been distributed and are available. There will be 3 minutes per question, and we have cards for those. And Corky, if you'd hold those up to the candidates, we have green for counting, time counting. There's yellow for 30 seconds remaining, and then red for time up. We're also going to start, I'm going to start on my right side with the Scottsville district and work to the left. We're going to rotate so that every district will have a chance to answer a question first, and then also do a rotation within the district so that each candidate will have an opportunity to first answer the question. Does that sound clear to everyone? Any questions? Okay. The first question, and let me preface this a little bit. The Albemarle County Board of Directors developed these three questions based on the resolutions at the local level. So they tie in to the questions. First question, and we'll start here. I'm having a hard time reading name. Kevin Fletcher will go first in Scottsville District, and then we'll move to my left. First question, much discussion within the Board of Supervisors and in public has advocated farmland preservation. What measures would you support to encourage and support the business and livelihood of those who continue to farm that land?
I would support any measure which would make farming more profitable for anybody to be able to make a living in Albemarle County. And I would think that it would be good to try to work out a forum with a group of counties for creating a slaughter facility. I think that is something that is greatly needed in this area. And I think we need to also try to ease up on some of the restrictions for small farmers in the produce section. I myself had gone up against the county in having a farm store on the farm that I was managing. And, you know, I was limited to the, you know, a very small square footage in the barn that we were using. I was limited to the only having one sign out in front of our property. You can only have a sign for your farm. You cannot also have a sign that also for your store. You know, things of that nature. I know that it took 2 years for, I guess, an amendment to be made to actually allow for temporary farm worker housing, which is, I think, is an integral part of farming today, especially if you're going to be doing produce, smaller seasonal type of product, such as grapes, things of that nature, which is extremely seasonable. And it was a two-year battle with the county that I began, and Marsha Joseph was kind enough to pick up the ball and take it all the way through through fruition, and I thank her very much for doing that. And also, I think this past year they allowed for funding for, I guess, a rural area's representative. And I would also would like to see actually the funding for an extension agent. I think that since land has gotten so expensive in Albemarle County, farming has now become much more condensed, and there's a newer group of people who are getting into farming, and they have you know, a lot of questions. And I think that having someone readily available to answer questions, because I think one of the fastest growing areas in the county is local produce for restaurants and for stores such as the Seaville Market or Foods of All Nations, which has done an incredible job of buying locally grown produce. And, you know, I thank them for that. Let's see, what else did I write down here? Going from extension agent. And, you know, I just also, I believe that there needs to be a, maybe even a part of a Albemarle County staff, and that is their sole purpose is to work on plans with farmers to develop more ways for them to make money on their land. Thank you.
Thank you. Next candidate, Lindsay Dorier.
Thank you. It's a good question. We want farmland to be preserved, but we need to support the business and livelihood of those farming. We can do that first by dedicating one of our county employees, which is already it already exists, dedicate that person to agricultural marketing and to help the farmers market their products. We don't do enough in this county to help sell the goods that farmers reap. And I'm thinking specifically of the wine industry and the grape industry, and also peaches and apples. We produce some great fruit, but we don't, the county government doesn't give much help with marketing. So I think we can dedicate this county employee that we've got dedicated to the rural areas, we can focus that person on the marketing of agricultural goods. Also, I think we can, Albemarle County is now a member of the Thomas Jefferson Partnership for Economic Development. We're also a member of the Chamber of Commerce. We can use both of these organizations to our advantage, and we should make sure that we can request that supervisors probably should pass a resolution asking for the TJ Partnership for Economic Development to have a task force established to come up with measures that encourage and support the business of farming. I'm not an expert on the marketing of farm goods, but I think we've got experts out there. You and the audience are experts. We need to use your knowledge, your recommendations. So I would use you and the Thomas Jefferson Partnership for Economic Development and the Chamber of Commerce to develop a marketing plan for the goods produced in Albemarle County. And I believe if we do that, We need to meet more than once a year at your annual meeting. We need to have an ongoing dialogue with farmers. And I would establish, if I'm reelected, I would establish a ongoing dialogue with the farm community. Farming used to be the major industry in Albemarle County. That's not anymore. But I think the farmland is still there. We still use the farmland. We want to keep it open. We want to keep it pure, and we want the open spaces to keep Albemarle beautiful.
Thank you. Next candidate is Dennis King.
Thank you, Mark. I'm Denny King, and I'm very proud to be part of the 2,200. Got me there? Okay. Does that count, Corky? Thank you. My wife and I are very proud to be part of that 2,225 members. We've been members of the Farm Bureau since 1993. I support pretty much what my two colleagues have said prior to my comments. The first thing I would like to point out is I think that our county has not been farm-friendly enough. And I think that's the first thing we have to do. We have to reach out to the farmers and make it apparent that we are a farm-friendly county. Our county is 95% rural. Only 5% is in the growth area. And Joe, you talked earlier about alternate fuel sources and all of this, and all of our corn and grains possibly being used for alternative fuels. What about America's food chain? You all have a big responsibility to produce. We eat your products every day. And I think that there are few of us who realize that, who realize what you provide this country, not only this county. And I was at Whole Foods this afternoon, and I was pleased to see a small farmer's market taking place in their parking lot. How interesting. This is a grocery store that sells produce, yet they welcome the small farmer to their parking lot to market his products. How wonderful. And I think that that's only the beginning. But I think we really have to show the farmer that we are a farm-friendly county. We're not just a developer-friendly county. And I believe that the most important thing is that we have farmers continuing to farm, and it's kind of sad when we don't see young people going into farming as we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And we have to ask ourselves, who will run these farms 20 years from today? That's a big question, and it should be a very big concern for all of us. And we have to look at things like this. We have to say, where will our food chain, and at what point will we really be in trouble? Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the Rivanna District, and I will read the question again. Much discussion within the Board of Supervisors and in public has advocated farmland preservation. What measures would you support to encourage and support the business and livelihood of those who continue to farm that land? And that would be Marcia Joseph answering first.
It's on? It's not on.
It was on.
No. Yes. Okay. Okay, now you can start timing me, Corky. I think we're all sort of on the same page here. I think it's really interesting that the county has decided to hire someone that will actually help support the agriculture industry. I was real excited to hear that Ag in the Classroom is still going on. I know that K-Tech is starting a program in horticulture. I know that there's a whole bunch of community-supported agriculture that's going on. The big push now is for organic farming, which is fabulous. I think that this person who the county hires has an opportunity now to look at farming just a little bit differently than we looked at it in the past, that maybe we'll see some of the smaller parcels that are profitable, and hopefully this will grow like some sort of mushroom, that it'll be able to encompass some of the larger farms too. I'm very grateful for a lot of the larger farms that have their land under easement. I know that's a huge gift that these folks have given to the community, but a lot of these places, and I don't know if you all remember that we've done farm tours for many years. We haven't done them in the past because the person that organized them is incredibly busy right now, which would be me. But we have done it, and I was thinking the other day about the farms that we visited, and a lot of them I don't think are in operation anymore. Is Thomas Dairy still open? No. No. So we see these things go away because of whatever reason. The family just can't support it anymore, that the area is not supporting it. And those are the kinds of things that we really need this person to start looking into, to start supporting, so that these community-supported agricultural places can become productive, so that they can use the farmland. I've really been supportive of agriculture for a long, long time, and I think that Kevin's right, that there's a lot of stuff within the ordinance itself that we need to look at, we need to change, we need to make it so that it's not so restrictive, so that people can actually make a living, because the land is incredibly expensive. And I really would much rather see cattle grazing next door than the houses that are going up next door. That's very, very difficult, because the other thing that happens to us, and Bruce Woodzell, wherever you are, what happens is that when these things go up, the value of my property is going up. I'm seeing that right now. I'm in an Ag Forest District right now, and I do get land use taxation. I don't know what's going to happen in the future when the assessments go up. We're all hurting right now, and we all need some relief from some of that too. We do have the land use taxation now. I don't know if there's more that can be done to help people, but we really do need to look into it. So, and I'm glad that Denny mentioned the Whole Foods, because they did have an ad in the paper several weeks ago that were advertising for people that do local produce to please come on in. They were having work sessions for them, and I think that's fabulous. And if we can get out there and get some of these other grocery stores interested, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Kenneth Boyd.
Thank you. You know, I'm a very strong believer that a government that regulates least regulates best. So I would say the first thing that I would like to see us do is get out of your way as a local government here and provide a convenient and easy way for you to do the business that I think you know how to do best, and certainly better than the Board of Supervisors could tell you what to do. That being said, I think it's also very important that the board provide whatever support we can to you. And that support comes that looks like things like reduced taxes. I think that we can't let your tax rates continue to keep going up, because that increased property taxes has just got, even in land use, is going to continue to be a problem for you. We have, in the last 4 years that I've been on the board, we've reduced the tax rate twice, which has provided some relief, but it's not been adequate, I think. I would have liked to have seen it gone down more. I applaud what I heard tonight, and that is that Farm Bureau is working with youth, because I think that's very important, what you're doing with the 4-H clubs, and to promote youth getting into farming on it. I think that's an important step that we should support as a government in any way we can. We have taken a step, as all the other people have mentioned here tonight, to hire a person that will work exclusively with agribusiness. And I think that what we should do with that individual is we ought to work with the Farm Bureau and those people that understand your needs, and we ought to establish some very measurable goals for our county that this person would work towards. I don't think we ought to create this in a vacuum. I think we need to listen to you all, let you all help us with those goals, measure them over the years, and make sure that we are making progress and we're doing. If we're not, we need to adjust those rules and get this person doing the kinds of things we want. But this is another step in the right direction, I believe, that is dealing with support for the farming community and not regulating you or telling you what to do with your land. One other thing I think that's very important that I've not heard tonight, but I did hear a little bit about it, is that economic development. I think it's a real reality in the farming world today that you cannot, not many small farmers and not many even large farmers can make it strictly on farming. We need, as a county, to make sure there are adequate jobs that are available for you, good paying jobs. It was a tremendous impact to this community we're in today when we lost ConAgra because of the value of those jobs were. And people that could work, that work part-time in farming, but needed some other type of income for it. So I think it's to our advantage to provide a good economy here to try and work on good jobs for you. Again, I'll go back to my statement at the very beginning. I think that we need to support the farming community in every way that we can. We need to provide good jobs for those people that need to work two jobs in order to do it, so they don't have to work three jobs. That's the main thing. If we could keep it to two, I'm sure then it'll be much easier for you to farm the land here. And I thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the Whitehall District, and I'll read the question again. Much discussion within the Board of Supervisors and in public has advocated farmland preservation. What measures would you support to encourage and support the business and livelihood of those who continue to farm that land? First candidate in Whitehall District is David Wyatt.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the resolutions that were brought forward by the Bureau. Support all of those in their entirety. Also, I like to, and I just won't elaborate much on them, but I will point out things I'm very supportive of, and I've been supportive since I've been on the board. I'm supportive of land use. How do we keep our land and those massive acres that folks like to look across without land use? It's a benefit to us and to them as well, or the other citizens. Also, our conservation easement. I've worked quite a bit in the past couple of years, and the board has made an initiative to increase our conservation easements. There are a number of programs available to our constituents. I've gone around and talked to a number of my farm friends. I know what farming's like because I do it. And I know what it is to be out here in the heat and in the cold when the other people are sitting in the comfort of the house. And I've had to stop my board members at times to reiterate and remind them of that and the difficulty that we face in the farming industry. Also, we need to be able to have ways to sell our products, no matter what it is, whether large farmers or small farmers. Y'all are pretty good at knowing the international market and the state market, but there has to be other ways. And this position that we've created is a lot for the smaller folks who want to continue to do some small-time farming, and most of them are probably working a second job. But that has to be coordinated with the Extension Office and with us here in the Farm Bureau. And also, I think as you look at the market, when I grew up, we were on a dairy farm, and a lot of dairy farms here. There's only four in this county. There's only one left in Greene County, and that's my kinfolk's farm. And that's how dairy farming is going. I have a friend that runs a dairy in another state. He says it's difficult to get milk to his dairy. It has to come from many states away. So we're changing that face here in the county. If you look at the vineyards we got and everything. So we've got to be supportive of that industry, realizing what's happened to us in this ag industry.
Thank you. Next candidate is Ann Malik.
Good evening. I grew up on a farm in Albemarle, and I'm glad to be one of those 574 producer members of the Farm Bureau. I'm thrilled that there are so many, frankly. As many people have mentioned, I'm very glad that the county is moving forward with the facilitator for farmland operations. And just as the business facilitator has been helpful to the businesses in Crozet, helping them to work on their changes in zoning, I do hope that this farming facilitator will be so successful. Some particular items I hope they will consider: removing obstacles to farm sales, providing high-tech information on new markets, where high profits can be made from very small acres if people are growing a particular item which is at great demand in our local food chain. Linking retiring farmers with aspiring ones, and referring young farmers or beginners to mentors. My father enjoyed being a mentor for people who were just beginning in farming, and help them to succeed. This is a very important aspect that we sometimes overlook. And the comment about extension agents is another one to keep that funding on. Representing county farmers at all sorts of different levels for the market, whether it's state or energy conferences, to help to gather as much information about warm season grasses and new crops that can be grown for our energy supplies as well. Also, schools and local institutions are beginning to look for locally supplied foods for their students and their residents. This is something that our local person can work on as well to keep that going. I think that our local food growers are riding a wave that's carried by the bad news coming from overseas. Many people who didn't pay much attention to where their food came from when they bought it at the grocery store are now looking, driving extra miles, going to different stores where they can find food that's grown somewhere close by or someone they can trust to know exactly what's gone on that crop. To me, that's very important. I've had a garden and raised our own meat for 35 years, and it's very important to our family's health. I'd rather spend the money on food than spend it on going to the doctor. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now be moving on to our second question. We're going to start with the Rivanna District first. I'll read the question. Control of population growth has been cited as a basis for measures such as the transfer of development rights. Would you be willing to support compensating landowners for limiting further divisions of their real property without attaching easement restrictions on the future use of that land so long as it remains ineligible for subdivision? And going first will be Kenneth Boyd in Rivanna District.
Thank you. I think anybody that knows me or that's followed my record knows that I'm a huge advocate of personal property rights. I have supported that in my voting on the board for the 4 years that I've been on there, and I will continue to be that when I'm reelected. I do support your initiative as was put down here, because it says that you would support the transfer of development rights without easements being required. But in fairness, I should say that I've got a whole lot of questions about TDRs as it's proposed. It's relatively new law, and one of the things that concerns me about it is that will we create enough of a market that we realistically can use in this county? If we have this talked about 50,000 potential or theoretical development rights out there, and we're going to create 5,000 transfer development rights, that's going to be a pretty small funnel, and somebody's going to get left out, would not be able to take advantage of that. Now, if comes along with it a downzoning, which is what's being proposed or talked about as the 50-acre rule, then that's something I'm going to have to think real hard about, because I just do not believe in taking away people's property. I think that those people who have worked in a long time and earned, spent their time and sweat equity in creating this property. I'm not one of these people that believes that someone who's had a farm in their family for generations and has maintained that farm and protected it in rural areas is going to all of a sudden turn around and turn it over to developers, so that we all of a sudden need to regulate them because we think for some reason they're no longer going to do this, or they're no longer going to keep it in their family. During the Mountaintop Ordinance hearings that we had, it was really brought to my attention how the people, I referred to that as people came out of the hills to talk to us, and they did, and I think I heard an awful lot from a lot of the people that have preserved this lovely community that we live in for hundreds of years, and I for one am willing to rely on them to do it again. I don't think we need to legislate them out of their property rights in order to preserve it for someone else. Thank you.
Thank you. And now Marcia Joseph.
Thank you. I guess when I read the question, it said control of population growth has been cited. And I'm not so sure I agree that TDRs are to control the population growth. I think that the population is going to come. We've been growing at a little less than 2% for, I don't know, maybe 5 years or so. But pretty steadily around 2% for an awfully long time, 30 years. So we're going to grow. It's going to happen. So I'm not so sure transfer development rights is going to do anything about population growth. I think what the concept was, it was trying to control what happens in the rural areas. I'm still not sure whether we have the legislative ability from the General Assembly to do this. So I don't even know if we can even consider this. The concept of easements, I think it's really, really important to make sure that any easements placed on a piece of property do not hinder you from doing any agricultural use. I think it's very, I don't know what's happening with the ACE committee now. I hear that there are all sorts of easements being placed on properties that do make it difficult for people, whether that's putting big buildings somewhere or something. I don't think that that's necessary. I think you're going to have some big buildings somewhere because you do big things somewhere. You have big equipment. You do on a larger scale. So I really think that easements placed on agricultural property becomes very, it's a hindrance in a lot of ways. If it's going to hinder agricultural use, it's something I can't support. And the transfer development rights, I'm still not sure where that's going. I think we have an ACE program right now. I'd like to see more money going into ACE, and because I understand that we have more and more people that are now finally, requesting that they are part of the ACE program. Initially, there weren't so many people, but now we've got a track record, and Jimmy Powell, our first participant, he's our poster child, and he's done a great job in really promoting this, and I think that we really do need to make sure any easements placed on these things are not something that's going to hinder somebody from actually farming the land. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Following will be the Whitehall District. I'll read the question again. Control of population growth has been cited as a basis for measures such as transfer of development rights. Would you be willing to support compensating landowners for limiting further division of their real property without attaching easement restrictions on the future use of that land so long as it remains ineligible for subdivision? And Ann Malik will go first.
Hello. All right. Thank you. I have been on the ACE program committee since the year 2000, and there is an easement for that that is negotiated with each willing landowner to achieve the best agreement possible. I do understand that there are some people who are reluctant to participate because there are easement restrictions in the ordinance.
Excuse me, is the mic on?
Yeah.
All right, I'm holding it too far away. All right, thank you. So regarding the ACE program as it exists now, the current committee is very concerned that we are spending taxpayer dollars. And we feel a responsibility that that money be spent in as clearly beneficial a way as possible to make sure that we are not spending taxpayers dollars on something where we're getting less for that than someone who donates their easement to the Virginia Outdoors Foundation, for example. So we are using the Virginia Outdoors Foundation as a bit of a model to follow to so that those two programs can go along sort of parallel. Now, I do understand the, if I understand your statement correctly, I don't think that it would be a difficulty as long as the land is staying in the zoning use for which it's set. There are already other procedures that would be involved if a land use was going to change. I would like, before I promise, to say that I would like to learn more about this to make sure that I understand exactly what is involved. Mark had mentioned the Farmland Preservation Act, the $4.3 million. The Albemarle County budget for this year, $1.3 million for the ACE program, has already been raised by $300,000 from this state program, and we hope to achieve another amount, almost that much, a little bit later this fall to be able to purchase properties in round 7 for the ACE program. And that's all.
Thank you. David Wyatt.
As I read this question, it doesn't deal with population growth. Population growth is another issue all itself. The transfer of development right is really moving where you're building to another location. You're transferring that development right to another location, but which in essence are doing a buying that development right from a rural property owner to move to some other location. And it's more like moving around the urban area, something where you can have better control of our infrastructure development and all. I do not support And since that's just a purchase right, then I do not support putting other easements on it. In a simple term, you're just purchasing that development right to be moved to another location. That is the problem with a lot of the laws as I see them today. They always have these other attachments to it, and those things make it very difficult for me to support, because I don't like these other things. The easement is a total different issue, and I've already talked to you about the conservation easements and the many programs that are available. This would end up being another program that would be available to our rural property owners, large property owners. However, the devil is in the detail of this. As Mr. Boyd has alluded to, there are a number of issues that we have to go through, and where it would be really a down zone if you stick with 50 acres after the transfer.
Thank you. We'll be moving on to the Scottsville District. I'll read the question again. Control of population growth has been cited as a basis for measures such as transfer of development rights. Would you be willing to support compensating landowners for limiting further division of their real property without attaching easement restrictions on the future use of the land so long as it remains ineligible for subdivision? Going first in Scottsville District, Lindsay Dorier.
Yes, I'd be in favor of this. I think I'm preparing for this forum. I went on the Virginia Farm Bureau website, and I pulled down a task force report on PDRs, purchase of development rights. And there was a task force set up in 2002 by Virginia Farm Bureau, along with the VACO, Virginia Association of Counties, and other organizations. And they developed a model PDR program. And it looked very good. The task force did the study that came up with a good report. So I would use that report in trying to deal with this question, and I would recommend that report to everybody else, because I think it's got some good ideas in it. I know firsthand about the transfer of development rights, because my mother owns a 50-acre farm in Scottsville District. And 2 years ago, she decided to get a conservation easement and worked with the Virginia Outdoor Foundation to do it. And I've seen firsthand what that does for you. The value of the property really didn't diminish that much, but it allowed her children to get a tax credit, which for the next 10 years we'll have a tax credit to apply against our state income tax. So that's an incentive to put your land in Virginia Outdoors Foundation. So I think that has an easement restriction on it. But I think that you could do something similar to that by compensating landowners to limit the division of their property, say from 10 units to 5 units, and pay them for that without an easement, and it would remain ineligible for subdivision, but there could be some compensation worked out. So I think the county needs to look into something like this as another alternative. We need to have as many alternatives as we can to save farmland, and this is just one more example of something that we can use, and that's why we need the help of the Virginia Farm Bureau, because you came up with that task force and had a 30-page report, which is excellent. I think we should implement that in Albemarle County.
Thank you. Next will be Dennis King.
Thank you, Mom. Yes, I'm on. For about the last 18 months, I have been a student. I've been your student. I've been a student of the people, and I'm approaching my being elected to the Board of Supervisors with no preconceived ideas or no personal agendas. I've listened to hundreds, if not thousands, of people throughout my district and other districts as well.
And for me to sit here tonight in front of you and say, I have the answer to question number two. I don't know if I could support PDRs because I don't have enough information about them yet to make that decision. But I'm willing to listen to all of you. And I'm willing to listen to everybody who lives in the county. I have to agree with Chairman Boyd. And I believe this is a man who has sat on the Board of Supervisors for quite some time. And I think it's very difficult, especially for me as the freshman, the hopefully freshman supervisor, your supervisor representing the Scottsville Magisterial District, to answer tonight when I'm really not prepared to answer that question because I want to ascertain more information about it. I want to know more about it. I want to learn more about it. But the one thing that I do want to do very strongly, and that's genuinely represent my constituency, to hear them, to be responsible, to be transparent, to represent them with integrity and honesty, and to let their voices be heard. Six people on a board can't make government work. The only way government can work is with you, the people. The people have to be engaged. And I think someone down here said when they reviewed the mountaintop, I was there at that meeting, and I listened to these people come down from places that I didn't even know existed. And what a great education it was to hear those people. So I want to continue to learn, and I want to continue to hear from all of you. I want to hear your concerns, your hopes for the future, and what you're concerned about today. Thank you.
Thank you. Next candidate is Kevin Fletcher.
Okay, I'm going to assume that they talk about the transfer of development rights. We're talking about, the plan that Mr. Slutsky has brought before to the board. And I can say that I'm against that plan because the main impetus of it expands the growth area. It down zones every day in the 50 acres. Also in his proposal that you cannot build on anything less than 50 acres. So if you own a piece of property, you know, that you've had for quite some time that's less than 50 acres, you're out of luck. You cannot build on that 50 acres. And also the transfer of development rights, decided to put a value on development rights to say that a piece of property in Free Union, which is a very desirable place, is equal to someplace else in the county, which I'm not going to name another spot because then I would be disparaging a section of the county. But certainly Free Union land prices are much higher than most anywhere else in the county. For his plan, I oppose that. To me, the person who pays the price is the small person in the rural area. Everyone else seems to make out very well except for the little guy. And I support the ACE program. I think that it's a good thing. It's a good way to get reimbursed for the value of your land. I have managed a piece of property that was under easement, and I do know there are restrictions, and those are restrictions that you can try to negotiate and try to get, less involvement by governing bodies. Certainly you have to open yourself up to inspection, which I think that is just part of the price you pay just to make sure that you are following along with the rules. So I would say that I support the ACE program. And if you do have the ability, if you are fortunate enough to need tax credits, then I suggest you maybe go through VOF, and that way you can use tax credits if you're fortunate enough to need that. Thank you.
What is your position on land use taxation rates? What should be done to ensure compliance with the requirements for designation of land use property? Going first in Whitehall District, David Wyatt.
Guess we're calling the meeting back to order. Okay, heard it difficult to hear me. Supportive of land use, as I've already mentioned earlier in one of the questions. Also, this question, how do we check compliance? Is there some change we ought to do? If you've got it in forestry, we know you're in forestry. It's fairly easy. It's a lack of trust, I guess, is what it kind of implies by this question. When we do. The county sends out letters every so often. I guess the most difficult one we have is dealt with just agricultural. And if you're cutting hay or you're bush hogging, that will be the most difficult one. But realize we're going to be doing the assessor's office will be coming around every 3 to 4 years, and they should be able to tell if we are in compliance with our land use. So I am supportive of land use, and also I do not feel like we ought to have any further restrictions on land use.
Thank you. Next will be Ann Malik.
Thank you. I also support the land use program. For as long as we've lived here and continued the farm use that was ongoing on our property when we began in 1982 in this location, we have benefited from this program. Many years ago, before the Board of Supervisors, when there was a discussion about discontinuing the program, my heartfelt plea to them at the time was, but my cows don't go to school. And that is really true. Farmland that is in production is not putting the same strain on the services of the county, and therefore, and also by state legislation, is allowed to be taxed at a different rate than the rest of the property. To me, this is a wonderful idea. I would like to see if the county can continue to improve the system. I do sense that there is mistrust. There is a sense on the part of other voters who are not farmers that the program is being misused. Remember that farmers are a minority in the voting population of the county, so it behooves us all to have this program be as squeaky clean as possible in order to have it continue and succeed. We also need excellent communication between the finance department and the farmers who are under the program. I have heard sad stories from people who did not receive proper warning that their land was coming out of the program, and therefore they had a very abrupt and short-term notice about a drastic increase in their assessments and in their tax liabilities. We always want to encourage care and stewardship of the land, but that is something that farmers, good farmers, do of their own accord. I do hope that the program can also encourage an income base. When we were farming briefly in another part of the country, the taxes were so high that people were willing to jump through many, many hoops, a certain number of dollars produced per acre of land, in order to qualify for land use taxation. This is something that may come our way if we're forced to, if the program is in jeopardy during the next several years due to voter pressure. But it is an essential program to the continuation of the viability of farming here in Albemarle. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving next to the Scottsville District, and I'll read the question. What is your position on land use taxation rates? What should be done to ensure compliance with the requirements for designation of land use property? Going first in Whitehall District, Dennis King. Scottsville District. Dennis King, apologize for that.
Thank you. I also agree very strongly with the land use taxation. There are several things, though, and I believe that when it was adopted by the County of Albemarle back in 1975, it was a great thing. It remains terrific today as well, as Ann clearly pointed out. I believe that several things she said would certainly mirror my comments about the program. That we have to maintain compliance, and I think compliance is a real key issue here. I found that there are some 90,000 acres zoned agricultural in our county. Some 1,100, 1,200 acres are horticultural, and 188,000 acres in forestry, and 252 acres in open space? I would doubt that very seriously, ladies and gentlemen. I think that the county has not done a very good policing of this program. I believe that there are people out there in our county who are enjoying land use taxation who really don't qualify and who haven't earned that right, that privilege. And I believe that there are many who have come in here, made their land appear to be golf course-like, and they are getting agricultural tax credits. I find that wrong. And with respect to supporting it, I strongly support it. But I also support the compliance of it. And I think it has to be policed. And as Ann pointed out, or someone at the other end of our county pointed out, that it has to be kept squeaky clean and totally, totally above board. Thank you.
Thank you. Next candidate, Kevin Fletcher.
Yes, I support the land use tax. I think it's probably about the only way that anyone can really afford to own any land in Albemarle County and farm. And it is abused. I mean, there is not a wonderment. It is abused. I witness it every day. When I drive around the county, you see it. So I would think that this is something that that costs the county millions of dollars in tax dollars. And I think that when you're looking for, you know, getting a bang out of spending money, and I think that certainly we could the county could afford to pay someone who investigates this. I think that also if you're going to be getting a tax break, that you should have to fill out a yearly report as to what do you do on your farm. I mean, if you cut hay, you know, on what days did you cut hay? How many round bales or square bales did you do, and what did you do with them? Did you sell them? Did you use them for your personal use? I mean, this is something that you probably do already, or you have an idea of, and this is just a simple form that you turn in every year that helps you to comply, to do along with this, and it creates a paper trail. So if there is someone who is believed to be taking advantage of this and basically is putting your tax break at risk is what they're doing. And so also, it also comes back to you. If you see it happening and it's blatantly going on, that gives you an avenue of which you can say, you know, I drive by and I see this person, they just they go by with a hay bind, you know, a couple times a year, they just let it lie, they never rake it, they never get it up, and you know, they're getting a tax break. And because that, it eventually it's going to cost you your tax break, and that is comes down to compliance for you to also be policing. And I think we need to hire someone to be responsible for checking out any indiscretions. And like I say, I think that there needs to be just a simple form that you fills out and tells what you do on your farm every year. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next candidate, Lindsay Dorier.
Well, I think that I'm in favor of land use taxation. And I've seen it from the other end, too. I'm a lawyer, and I handle real estate closings. And I see when land is subdivided and sold, there's a rollback tax. If it's in land use taxation, it's rolled back, I believe, for about 5 years. And the person has to, the former owner pays that rollback tax. So that is some something that ensures compliance and gives the county back some money. It also allows the landowner to take advantage of land use taxation. I don't really think that. I think if this may be being abused, I don't believe that there are millions of dollars being lost on it, because we enacted land use to preserve farmland and preserve open space. If that's our goal, it hasn't worked that well, but I mean, it's working somewhat Well, I guess for the farmers, at least the ones in this room, because I talked with Joe Jones on this, and we were talking about the whether you could farm without land use, and I don't believe you can farm without land use. I think it's too difficult, too expensive, and you need that land use in order to be able to farm. And so I think that while we can tighten up on it, we can make some changes in it, that we should support it and work with the farmers to try to make it the best program we can make it, and realize that the landowners who subdivide the land are going to pay the tax at closing, a rollback tax. So that would protect the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Finishing up on the third question will be the Ravana District. I'll read the question. What is your position on land use taxation rates? What should be done to ensure compliance with the requirements for designation of land use property? Going first, Marcia Joseph.
Well, I have an opportunity now to thank you for inviting me here. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that so many people are being here, even when it was advertised at one point that a bluegrass band was coming. I think it's really important that we get out here and we get our concepts before you. And again, agriculture is near and dear to me, so I really do appreciate being here. The land use assessment program is extremely important to keep farming going in Albemarle County. It's just essential. We've been talking about whether it's been abused or not, and there's any number of things that can be done to make sure that people who are in land use are using it as a farm by some sort of simple statement every month, some sort of affidavit, or not every month, every year, annually, an affidavit, or you could be in an ag forest district, or you could be under conservation easement, and certainly that makes sense. But it's something also that really needs to be discussed by the public. It's something that I've seen in public meetings lately that really hurts my heart, is that you see people from the urban area getting up and talking about the fact that people get land use in the rural areas, and with the assumption that they're not paying their fair share of the taxes, which is definitely not true. I think that people in the urban areas are beginning to realize that what makes this county beautiful are the great big open spaces that are our family farms now. And I think it's extremely important that we continue a land use program. And I don't know that there's abuse going on. I really don't know that. But I do think that there are ways that we can make people feel more comfortable about the fact that we are giving land use to people. And again, I wouldn't give it up. I don't think we'd survive. I think that you'd see so many subdivisions going up, you couldn't count fast enough. So thank you.
Thank you. Next candidate, Ken Boyd.
I think that I'm going to violate the politician's creed here and be brief. I definitely support the land use policy that we have here. I'm unaware that there is widespread abuse of that. I think we, as the county supervisors, rely a lot on our assessor staff, and we know that it's going to be challenging for them now that we're moving to a one-year assessment rather than every other year assessment. But I certainly am going to look in to find out if there is any widespread abuse, and I think we should take measures to correct that. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates, for taking your time to answer a few questions from Albemarle County Farm Bureau. And before I let you leave, I'm going to turn it back over to President Joe Jones.
Thank you, Mark. And before I let you leave, I think I would speak for every person in this room that in November, whether you win or lose the election, we want to thank you all for giving us a choice. Appreciate you putting your time and energy in it.